Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. When we get to the age of 50 or so, we start taking an interest in our finances. How much money are we going to have for our retirement? But it's also the age when we should be also focusing on our health and wellness. So how are we going to maintain our health and enjoy these magic years when we can finally retire? Today's guest is Dan Perryman. He's the host of the Low Carb Leader podcast show. Dan has spent many years developing his health and fitness style. So I'm very pleased to have Dan on the show today. Welcome to the show, Dan Perryman. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Anne. Thank you for having me.
So I always like to start off our Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show with a little bit of background on my guest. So would you like to tell us a bit about yourself, please, Dan?
Oh, sure. And I've listened to several of your episodes and they're really good. So I'll probably start listening to them now. So I am a subscriber, by the way. Yeah, so I grew up in Iowa, and I guess what made me a little bit different was that my dad and my brother owned a karate school. So I was involved in karate for the whole time I was in high school. And I was actually, my claim to fame is I was the youngest black belt in Iowa when I became a black belt at 11. I left high school, went into the Navy, spent 6 years there, got out of the Navy, went back to school and got my bachelor's and master's in hospital administration. And I've been in hospital administration for the past 20 years. And I have a Low Carb Leader podcast now that I do on the side. And the reason I started looking into a low carb lifestyle was I actually didn't even know it was a low carb lifestyle. I was trying to figure out a way, you know, after you eat lunch and you get that dreaded post-lunch, you know, just crash. I was like, I got to figure out a way not to be so tired in the afternoon. So I started eating salads, and one thing led to another. And my son and I, we started investigating nutrition and led into the low carb lifestyle. And I've been following it for probably 5 to 8 years and been pretty involved in fitness. And now I have a podcast so I can share it.
Well, that's a really interesting journey that you've been on. And how do you think you can shine a light on us as we get older?
You know, that's a great question because, yeah, so, and I'm turning 50 this year, and I've noticed a pretty big difference in, you know, the way I recover, not only from workouts, but just it seems the older I get, the harder it is. You know, I get out of bed, my back hurts. And I've been doing some blood work. And so following a low carb lifestyle, the reason you follow low carb is that you want to keep your insulin low. So I check my blood glucose all the time. And I've noticed some pretty, when I do eat carbs, I have some pretty wild swings. And so, you know, you sleep less and it just gets a little bit harder at 50. It seems to me that 50 is kind of a tipping point. It was easier when I was 40, don't you think?
You know? Definitely. I was very active with sport and running around when I was younger. But now that I'm in my early 60s, I lead a much more sedentary life, I suppose. I'm not up to much. I go to a lot of meetings and I sit around having lunches and dinners.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, we'll talk about metabolism in a little bit, but when you look at the research, I've done some research about like what are the chronic conditions for women and what are the chronic conditions for men once they hit 50. And I mean, obviously for women, postmenopause and estrogen is a big issue, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease. And then it seems to be a little bit easier to get higher blood pressure. And for men, it's just a lot of cancer, you know, lung cancer and colorectal cancer, prostate. And a big thing is for both of us, both sexes, it's a loss of muscle. And you led right into it with you become less active. And what happens is your metabolism slows down over decades. And eventually you end up being far less healthy because your metabolism has slowed.
Right. So what sort of chronic conditions are we looking at?
Yeah, so personally for me, this is my story around this is, you know, my mom, she's 85 right now. And for the last 84 years, she has been extremely active. I mean, walking. I mean, when she was 75, she was still cutting the grass. You know, we had to have her stop cutting the grass, right? And And just within the last year, she's had this massive decline around Alzheimer's. She actually had a urinary tract infection. And for the elderly, that can actually kind of spiral them into dementia. And so we had me and my brother had a very difficult time over last year putting her in a nursing home. She's fine now, still the memory problems. But what I realized is that I started thinking, okay, wait a minute, let me think through my family. And I have a lot of cancer in my family. I have a lot of Alzheimer's. And so I started thinking, okay, you know, over the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of bodybuilding. I've done some physique shows. It's easier when you're over 40 because you're in the master's level, right? So, but I thought I need to find a nutrition plan that's actually going to prevent that. And so I've transitioned into it's called a ketogenic diet, which is higher fat. You eat quite a bit of fat and moderate protein and really no carbs. And it's pretty effective in preventing cancer and preventing dementia, Alzheimer's. And so I've taken on that. So my transition has actually been from working out to look better to really designing my own lifestyle so that I can remain healthy when it comes to a cancer and a Alzheimer's standpoint.
And you keep a close medical check on yourself.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, mostly I check, you know, I go through annual physicals and everything, and I just went through that. And, you know, but I keep tabs on my blood glucose because, you know, throughout my whole life, I would eat like French toast or something in the morning, like an hour and a half later, I would just have this major crash, you know, kind of where your hands get shaky and everybody goes, oh, I need to eat some sugar. Well, that's a very unhealthy cycle for your body. You know, you eat sugar, which is really bad for you. And then within 2 or 3 hours, you need more sugar. That's why people who eat a lot of sugar, and when I say sugar, I also mean carbohydrates, which, you know, if you eat a piece of bread, there's a lot of sugar in that. It all converts to sugar in your body, all the carbohydrates. So if you're getting hungry every 3 hours, it's because your body is needing more and more sugar to get through the day and to have energy. And so I know a lot of people experience that, especially those that eat a lot of carbs.
Right. So what's the answer for us then?
I was thinking, so your listeners are probably my age and a little bit older, and I think there's three main areas to focus on. We always disregard sleep. And so the three areas are sleep, exercise, and nutrition. And they're pretty basic main ideas, but I think people don't understand the importance of sleep, right? So this Warren Zeron said, you probably heard this quote before, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And now researchers are saying, yeah, if you don't get good sleep, it's going to shorten your life because sleep, your mind regenerates, your body heals, everything. And even if you're sleeping 8 hours a night, which I'm guessing a lot of your listeners don't sleep that long because the older I get, the less I sleep. I go to bed and I wake up and I sleep 7 hours. It doesn't matter. I don't even need to set the alarm anymore because I just wake up. But it's really versus the quality versus quantity of sleep. So if you're a good example is if you drink alcohol all night and pass out and sleep for 8 hours, that's really not good quality sleep. That's not allowing your body to repair and to go through the sleep cycles that it needs. So have you found that, Anne, that the older you get, the less sleep you you need?
Yes, definitely. Yes, I agree with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and the main sleep hormone is melatonin. And there's research around this that by the time you get my age, 50, your melatonin production is like gone, right? And melatonin is what allows you to sleep. So throughout your life, you have really high melatonin production when you're younger, and it just completely almost disappears by the time you're 40, 50, 60. So here's a few tips for sleeping better. And I'm going to ask you this, Anne, so you can tell me if you do this or not. So you have the same bedtime and the wake time every day of the week. You do that.
No.
And the reason is because you have so many hormones in your body that regulate sleep. And so if you get in a certain pattern of sleeping, so like every night I go to bed at 10 and with every day I wake up within a 20 minute period. So I'm 5:30, I'm up every day. I don't even set the alarm because I just force myself to go to bed at the same time. And so that's like the number one tip. The other thing is exercise in the morning. So even the listeners who exercise at night, if you get up and just do like 5 minutes of jumping jacks or anything to get your heart going, you will sleep better at night. So they did a study that said, if you exercise just a little bit in the morning, you would sleep longer, experience deeper sleep, and spend 75% more time in your reparative stages of sleep. So exercise just a little bit. And then caffeine, cut that out. Like, don't drink caffeine past 2. That's a good tip because there's a half-life of 6 to 8 hours. So if you drink a cup of coffee at 2 p.m., half of that caffeine is still in your body at 8 or 9 p.m. And so that's a good tip. And then the last tip is put blackout curtains, get your room as dark as you can. And because your skin has photoreceptors, right? So even if you black out your eyes and you're in light, your body's going to think it's daytime. And so you may sleep, but you're not going to be getting all the good processes of sleep. That's kind of the sleep part of it.
Well, that's fascinating. Good tip.
Yeah. And we mentioned biohacks in the email. So a biohack is basically just something that you can do to your body to, and you know, improve it. So it's like somebody would hack a computer, you're hacking your body. And one of the big things now is we have all this artificial light. So we stare at our iPhones, we stare at our TVs all night. And it actually, staring at your iPhone, even for 10 minutes within an hour of sleeping, reduces your melatonin by like 80%. And so every night I actually wear these, they're called blue blockers. You can go to Amazon, they're like 10 bucks. They're amber glasses that block out blue light. And so those are the 5 things I do, and I sleep really good. But that's so important. Sleep is so important.
These blue blockers, how long do you wear them for?
Yeah, you know what I do, Anna, is I try to cycle them with the season. So, like, it's summer here, so it doesn't get dark till 8:30 or 9. So as soon as it gets dark outside, I put them on. And because that way I can watch TV or look at the computer, and you can see everything. It's just amber tinted and it blocks the blue light out. That's actually like one thing that a lot of people are doing right now because the blue light is so damaging to your sleep. That's probably one of the top tips. You know, you look kind of dorky. My kids make fun of me, but you know, hey, I get to sleep better. So buy the cheap ones, 10 bucks on Amazon. A little bit about exercise then. Just want to comment on metabolism. I have a lot of friends who will say, I want to become healthier, so I'm going to start working out. Or yeah, I'm going to change my nutrition. Well, that's all good, but the way your body burns calories to get energy, so 60 to 70% is based on your resting metabolic rate, which means if you just lay there, it's how many calories you burn in a day not doing anything. Only 10%, 10 to 15% is energy that's burned because of the food you eat. So if you eat protein, you have to burn calories in order to digest that. And actually protein 30% of the calories that you eat that are protein are burned through digestion. So eating protein is good because it's a good way to burn calories. And then only 20% is exercise. And the reason I say this is because if you say, I want to go get healthy and go get on a treadmill, that has very limited impact on you losing weight and burning more calories. What you need to do is go lift weights because you'll build muscle. And the more muscle that you have, the more energy you expend in this resting metabolic rate. So the bottom line there is the more muscle you have, the more energy you spend while you're sitting there at home. And 60 to 70% of the energy you use is while you're resting. And so the takeaway there is you build more muscle, you burn more calories. And so I think people, they always worry about lifting weights. I mean, and if you have injuries, be careful, have somebody help you, but don't just start walking. It's fine to do some cardio, but doing some weightlifting is key to maintaining your weight. Key.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that tip.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the final tip is, of course, I have a podcast around eating low carb. And okay, so you definitely have people right now that are saying you can't live without carbohydrates. Well, you can, because I've gone a couple years without eating hardly any carbs at all. What happens is when you don't eat carbohydrates and you eat, you have to increase your fat. And I want to say good fat. So things like butter and avocados and olive oil. I'm not talking about going to McDonald's and getting, you know, Big Macs. Talking about healthy fats, right? So, but your body burns these things called ketones, which is a substitute energy formation that actually burns cleaner than carbs. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people get scared. But what I would say is, you know, cut out sugar and sodas. That's like number one. And I've interviewed a lot of people on my podcast, and I always ask them, what's your number one tip? And they say, stop sugar. Every single one of them. Sugar is so bad for your body. And then, but like I said, if you eat a piece of white bread, that's a ton of sugar. Your body immediately converts that to sugar. So what I would recommend is, you know, stay on the outside aisles of the grocery store. So eat whole foods, vegetables, meats, and fish, and, you know, all the things your kids don't want, you know, and limited fruit. And I would say kind of follow the 80-20 rule, you know, to start with. You don't have to go crazy. Just eat more whole foods, eat less processed foods. And, you know, if you want the occasional dessert, eat it, but use it for special occasions. Like if you're eating ice cream or dessert every single night, you're just, your insulin's going up. And if you're trying to lose weight, you cannot lose weight if you're eating sugar because it goes straight to storage. If you go on a low-carb diet, yeah, you'll start losing weight.
So with your sugars, you're including fruit in that as well?
Kind of. So like what I do is, like, berries are low glycemic. They don't have a lot of impact. So everything I do is trying to keep my blood glucose down just because of the Alzheimer's, the cancer prevention, all that. But you can eat, you know, berries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, avocados, actually a fruit. What I would say is, you know, you can enjoy, if you want to eat pineapple or mango or something, that's pretty high sugar, but you can do it once in a while and you get some fiber with it. So it's not all bad. But I think where we get misled is the government, at least in the US, will say, eat, I don't even know, 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. It should probably be 9 servings of vegetables and maybe 1 serving of fruit, something like that. But Snickers, you know, they're tasty, but and sodas, they're just not good for you. And so I haven't drank a soda in, I don't even know, 5 years probably.
Right. Okay. Well, you seem to be the proof in the pudding then. So how do you help people, Dan?
Yeah. So I got a couple of different resources. So I would say check out the lowcarbleader.com. That's the website. And I have links to my podcast, links to blogs. I got a Facebook page with about 50,000 followers. I would actually that's a good place. If you're looking for like low carb, healthy recipes, I share a lot on that. So there's always good recipes. And if you go to the website on the homepage, there's a sidebar that says 6 week low carb plan. Click up on that and click on that. If you just enter your email address, you'll not only get that, you'll actually get another PDF that has a few tips on sleep. And one last thing, I'm actually starting a new website called Expressed, ExpressedHealth.com. And I'm going to offer with my son, he's a strength athlete, power lifter. He's going to offer the personal training side, and I'm going to offer coaching based on genetics. And so that's a new business that we'll be rolling out here shortly.
Genetics. Can you want to tell us a little bit more how that is important?
Yeah, that's exciting. So like, for example, I think people think, well, you know, the genes were passed down and I'm either, you know, lucky or not lucky based on the genetics I was given. But there's a field of science called epigenetics. That means above genetics. And what they have found, and this is the biggest area of research now, is that the genes you have, it's how you express them. They continually evaluate, and we're talking about, you know, hundreds of trillions, quadrillion, whatever the number is of cells, and they're all sampling the environment around them continually. If you're smoking cigarettes or if you're exercising, they're going to be expressed in a bad way or a good way. And they're finding like exercise that there's like, I think the number is 4,000 positive effects to exercising. So your genes actually change and they express in a positive way, making you healthier. And so what this personal coaching is, it's going to be, you'll go get your genetic profile, and you can actually get a genetic profile for like $100 now, which is amazing. It used to be like $100,000. And then I'll base the coaching on your individual genes based on sleep, stress. There's 16 different areas, nutrition. And so rather than just kind of a hit and miss approach, there's certain genes that you should follow a certain type of diet with. And so that's what we're getting ready to roll out. So it's pretty exciting, and that's pretty cutting edge, actually.
Oh, sounds absolutely fascinating. It's just amazing. Thanks very much. It's been really interesting, and I've had a lot of learnings in our conversation today.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
That's the thing. We all think about money and how we're going to have enough money to last us into retirement, but obviously our health is very, very important, that we look after it and keep active in some way.
Yeah, that's my final comment, is that you can have spent 65 years getting into retirement and have all the money in the world and all the resources in the world, but if you get cancer or you get some chronic condition, your retirement's going to be difficult. And I think health should be focused number one, because that's how we're all going to enjoy our retirement, is if we're healthy.
And you were going to give us a couple of tips about easy things we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So these are those biohacks I was telling about, and a couple of them sound kooky, but trust me, they're real. Go outside and get 10 to 15 minutes of sun each day. So most people in the world are deficient in vitamin D, and you get 10,000 international units, which is all you need for one day. And vitamin D is so important. So just go out in the sun, take your sunglasses off, just enjoy the sun, right? And it's so much better than taking a vitamin D supplement. And you get to listen to the birds, right?
Yep.
And while you're doing it, walk barefoot in the grass. It's called earthing or grounding. And what it does is, by being barefoot on the grass, and there's a lot of research around this, that there's actually free electrons that will help your body fight chronic inflammation. It sounds kooky. So I go out every morning and I stand barefoot in the grass, get some sun for like 10 minutes. And, you know, it's something that you cannot feel right away, but it is definitely making you healthier. And the research is all around it. So two very simple things you can do. And then the last thing is just practice some deep breathing. So everybody does very shallow chest breaths. So just every hour or so, just kind of stand up and put your hand on your stomach and push your hand out, breathe in four and breathe out four, and just do that for like 10 times. It will lower stress. It'll make you more healthy. So these are just very easy ways that we can become a little bit healthier, reduce our stress, and just enjoy life a little bit more.
Thanks, Dan. That's absolutely fascinating. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, very easy, very easy. Yeah.
Yeah, for most of us, it should be something that we can all do to help ourselves. So once again, it's been great listening to you and talking to you today, and I'm sure my listeners will get a lot out of what you had to share. Thanks.
Yeah, and thank you for allowing me to be on your show.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.